As missionary Richard Nearby now preaches his sermon, Christ Receiveth Sinful Men, he will frequently reference his previous sermon, titled, The Man That Died for Me, Radio Sermon 2024-1. Later, at your convenience, it would be profitable to view that written sermon as you listen to this audio. Both are on his website, christisall.us. Separate those two words with two dashes, christ-is-all.us.
My fellow brother or sister in Christ, it is direly important for us to always bear in mind that our Almighty Creator God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and His ways are not our ways. Therefore, at the times He clearly leads us, no matter how daunting or loathsome that calling be, it greatly behooves us to immediately fully obey and follow our Lord God. Sister Barney said, I will not tell how I weighed the probable uselessness of my going, nor how I shrank from one so vile as he. It was not the kind of work I wanted. But by God's great grace, she did go. And look what a glorious trophy of a hopeless, lost, vile sinner that she led to our good shepherd, who then saved Jack. Consider most thoughtfully the deploring, repulsive scene that she beheld for the first time when she walked up to Jack's abode. A one-room mud cabin with one door, apparently no window, and dying Jack lying in one corner on some straw and blankets. Jack lived there for the purpose of mining gold, thus knowing that and his primitive living conditions, likely this was in the latter half of the 1800s, some years after gold was first discovered in California in the late 1840s, and before the gold mining played out. Sister Barney uses tamer, more polite descriptive words than the profound in-your-face speech of most people nowadays. She speaks of Jack as being a vile man. He had quarreled and fought fiercely with other such rough men, killing some of them, as indicated by his hands stained with blood. If Jack were not bedridden now, she would have feared for her physical safety if she went to him. But still, she shrank from the prospect of Jack's vile words. When she says oath, swore, cursed her, cursed him, and such, we know that Jack's language was horribly dirty. Christian friend, think deeply upon her discouragement, giving up and quitting after faithfully ministering to Jack's needs for 2 weeks. But please consider even more profoundly our gracious Lord using her small son to jumpstart her and get her back on the firing line, now more serious and more determined than ever. A little child shall lead them. That is a most precious scripture. We know not the exact age of this small son of hers. 7 years old or so, I would guess, possibly younger. Think on how alert he was to take to mind that she did not pray for the bad man this night. Also, the lad did not let it go at that, but rather confronted his mother with that matter. Look at their conversation again. "That night, as I was putting my little boy to bed, I did not pray for the miner. My little boy noticed it and said, 'Mama, you did not pray for the bad man.' 'No,' I answered with a sigh. 'Have you given him up, Mama?' 'Yes, I guess so.'" At this point, God puts the focal question to Mrs. Barney, coming from the mouth of her own small son. In simple childhood faith, logic, and wisdom, out of the mouth of babes, God tells us in His Holy Bible, "Has God given him up, Mama? Ought you to give him up till God does?" Had God not created this small boy, had the lad not existed to be on the scene exactly when needed to prevent his soul-winning mother from giving up and quitting, likely Sinner Jack would be in hellfire forever. Christian parents, diligently train up your children in the way they should go and see God use them in similar ways during their childhood. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Galatians 6:9. That night, Mrs. Barney learned what it was to wrestle with God as an intercessor for a lost soul, and not turn loose from God until the answer came. So very few of us lukewarm Laodicean Christians have learned that. We each should pray thuswise: "Lord Jesus Christ, please mightily stir up my heart with burning compassion for the many lost souls around me. Give me intercessory endurance to wrestle with thee until the answer comes. Amen." Christ receive his sinful men, even me with all my sin, purged from every spot and stain. Heaven with him I'll enter in. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receive his sinful men, Christ receive his sinful men, make the message clear and plain. Christ receive his sinful men. Now look at the next important lesson for us here. Mrs. Barney said, "As I went back to my room, my husband said, 'How about your miner? He is going to be saved.' Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world." In the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 17, verse 5, Jesus' disciples pleaded with him thuswise: "Lord, increase our faith." My fellow Christian friend, right now, let's pray to Christ to increase our faith. Lord Jesus, please have mercy on my sinful unbelief, and by thy unlimited power, make me ever so strong in faith toward thee. I also pray this for all Christian believers now on earth. Amen. Mrs. Barney's husband next asked her, "How are you going to do it?" he asked. "The Lord is going to save him, and I do not know that I shall do anything about it," I replied. "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Zechariah 4:6. Fellow soul winner, let us call on God to work mightily to save lost souls, and fully believe without wavering or doubting that he will do so. Please gaze on this written story thoughtfully, thinking on God's perfect timing, leading Mrs. Barney to go to Jack's mud house earlier on this day of Jack's salvation. Think on Mammy's mother coming out with Mammy, God's perfect timing, and inviting her own self to go along, though Mrs. Barney at first felt that it would be an interruption to Jack receiving Christ. But God ordained that Mammy be the key to Jack's salvation from eternal hell fire. Christian friend, before our Creator God created the worlds, he ordained that Jack would have a sweet, precious daughter, and that Jack and his wife would name that baby Mammy. God ordained that he would take Jack's Mammy to heaven as a small child. God, who knows the end from the beginning, ordained that Mrs. Barney's neighbor would have a daughter and name her Mammy. I can envision God sending a beautiful butterfly fluttering up and down over the purple sage as Mammy picked its flowers, causing Mammy's rippling, joyful laughter that let Jack know a little girl was outside. We have a great, big, wonderful God. Great, big, wonderful God. A God who's always watching over us, o'er all victorious. Great, big, wonderful God. Amen and amen. From what Jack said about his mother and about his wife, I surmise that each were exceedingly sinful women who came to gold mining country to catch a man with gold, and who would stoop as low in sin as necessary to catch that man and his gold. And look at how forward Jack is in his thinking and speech. When Mrs. Barney told him that if his mammy had lived, likely she would have turned out like her mother, and asked if he would have wanted that, Jack thought on that for a full minute, a long thought. Then he cried, "Oh God, no, I'd kill her first. I'm glad she died." Likely Jack meant every word of this declaration. I laugh with joy at the extent Jack is willing to go to see his mammy again. Oh, I'd be willing to be burned alive 1,000 times over if I could just see my little girl once more. my little mammy. What a man of action this Jack be. And look at how deeply he loved his little mammy. I look forward to meeting Jack in heaven soon. And both of the girls named Mammy and soul winner Mrs. Barney. Look at Mammy's prayer for Jack, so simple and so fitting. Christian parent, can your small child pray as profitable a prayer? Christian adult, can you pray as profitable a prayer? Dear Jesus, this man is sick. He has lost his little girl. And he feels bad about it. I'm so sorry for him. And he's sorry too. Won't you help him and show him how to find his little girl? Do please. Amen. The men from the mills and mines came and filled the room for the gospel meeting. Likely most of them were vile sinners also. Look at the deep reverence that this new creature, Jack, now has for God, commanding the men to get on their knees for the meeting. And likely every man knelt at Jack's command. One dominant trademark of present-day Laodicean church folks whom God is now spewing out of his holy mouth by means of escalating death and suffering, is that they do not get on their knees before God, neither in church nor in the home. Mrs. Barney didn't get far into the gospel story before Jack just had to tell it better. What a preacher. Boys, you don't half believe it or you cry. You couldn't help it. Raise me up. I'd like to tell it once. My church-going friend, if you have never wept over your sins against the holy God, or over Christ's sacrifice on the cross for your sins, if your religion has always been a dry eye religion, you need to examine yourself to see if you are truly saved. Think on Jack proclaiming, "I'd like to tell it once." Jack, who had long been most vile, is now most eager to tell of the man who died for vile mankind. Churchgoer, if your heart doesn't burn with desire to call on the many hell-bound sinners around you to repent to be saved, it would behoove you to examine yourself to see if you need to be saved. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verse 31, Jesus rebuked the proud, self-righteous chief priests and elders, warning them that harlots and other such vile sinners would enter heaven before they would. You proud Christ rejecter, who is living a most decent life before the eyes of mankind, if you die in that proud but lost state, you will miss out on heaven, where there will be chief of sinners like Saul of Tarsus in the New Testament book of Acts, and Jack, and me, Richard Yerby. Don't miss heaven. Please earnestly pray the following prayer now. and also pray the song as a prayer. Lord Jesus, I come to thee in repentance to be saved.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come.